This news story was written by Shira Rubin, Lior Soroka, and Sarah Dadooch. Biden's ceasefire plan tightens political squeeze for Netanyahu in Israel. Tel Aviv. Political pressure is mounting on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as more than 100,000 Israelis flooded the streets of this city on Saturday night, demanding he accept a U.S.-brokered deal for a ceasefire in Gaza, while members of his far-right coalition threatened that any such move would bring down the government. The proposal, revealed in a surprise speech by President Biden on Friday, calls for a 6-week pause in fighting, during which hostages taken from Israel would be released in phases in exchange for hundreds of Palestinian prisoners, and there would be a significant boost in aid shipments to the Gaza Strip. The key sticking point, the same one that has doomed past negotiations, is how and when the war will officially end. Netanyahu's office said Friday it had authorized the text of the proposal. On Saturday, however, it added that Israel's conditions for ending the war have not changed, and that any deal that does not allow for the complete destruction of Hamas, the release of all hostages, and the end of Gaza's security threat to Israel was a non-starter. Hamas said Friday that it viewed Biden's speech on the deal positively, but that its willingness to engage was based on a permanent ceasefire and the complete withdrawal of Israeli forces from the Strip. We have every expectation that if Hamas agrees to the proposal, then Israel would say yes, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said Sunday in an interview with ABC's This Week. But nothing in Israeli politics is so simple. For weeks, Netanyahu has been under competing pressures, from moderate members of his war cabinet and families of hostages who have been pushing for a deal, and from more extreme partners in his coalition who have continuously insisted on absolute victory in Gaza. Biden's public airing of the ceasefire proposal has forced those tensions to the surface, meaning Netanyahu may no longer be able to stall for time. Biden's speech Friday came after sundown in Israel, as some far-right coalition members were observing the Jewish Sabbath, during which they abstain from work or using their phones. When the Sabbath ended Saturday night, the far-right National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, posted on X that the deal was tantamount to absolute defeat. If Netanyahu goes ahead with it, he said, his party would dismantle the government. Bezalel Smotrich, another ultra-nationalist member of the coalition, said on X that he told Netanyahu he would quit the government if the deal went through. We demand the continuation of the fighting until the destruction of Hamas and the return of all the hostages, the creation of a completely different security reality in Gaza and Lebanon, the return of all residents to their homes in the north and south, and a massive investment in the accelerated development of these areas of the country, he said. Opposition leader Yair Lapid said the government would not necessarily collapse without Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, and that he would be willing to provide a safety net to see it through the implementation of a ceasefire deal. The threats from Ben-Gvir and Smotrich are an act of abandoning national security, the hostages and residents of the north and the south, Lapid tweeted Saturday night. This is the worst, most reckless government in the history of the country. From their perspective, let there be war here forever. As political leaders traded barbs on social media, more than 120,000 people took to the streets of Tel Aviv on Saturday, according to organizers. They viewed Biden's announcement as a turning point after 8 months of agonizing limbo. I hope that Biden's speech will pressure whoever needs to be pressured in order for there to be a deal, said Mor Kornegold, whose brother Tal Shoham is among the 125 hostages still held in Gaza. If they do not return, he said, we will never have victory. We will continue to fight until the destruction government says yes, said Ayala Metzger, whose father-in-law, Yoram Metzger, 80, was kidnapped from kibbutz near Oz. She spoke near the Israeli military headquarters in Tel Aviv, where police clashed with thousands of protesters chanting for the immediate resignation of the government. Her leg was injured by police cavalry, according to videos that circulated on social media. Our trust as citizens in the government collapsed on October 7th, and nothing has been done to repair it, said Gil Dickman, a cousin of 39-year-old hostage Carmel Gatt. Biden is showing himself as the responsible adult in the room, saying, I will tell you the situation, so that no one can retreat afterward because of some political reason or another, Dickman said. Addressing Netanyahu, he added, Biden is saying that this train has already left the station. Now the question is, will you get on it and get the hostages home or stay with your head to the wall, as if you want to continue the war forever? Hostage families have intensified efforts to pressure the government into reviving negotiations, trying to convince officials that the Israeli public would support an agreement. Family representatives called on all government ministers and coalition members to publicly commit to supporting the deal, to do everything possible to ensure it is implemented immediately, and to block any attempt to torpedo it, said a statement Saturday by the Hostage Families Forum, an umbrella organization representing most of the relatives of those held inside Gaza. It's now or never, Dickman said. On Thursday, he said, Israeli National Security Council Chief Tzachi Hanegbi told him and several other hostage relatives that if the current ceasefire proposal is not implemented, there is no plan B. Israeli President Isaac Herzog, whose position is mostly ceremonial, said Sunday that he had thanked Biden for his speech and that he pledged to Netanyahu his full support a hostage deal. We must not forget that according to Jewish tradition, there is no greater commandment than redeeming captives and hostages, especially when it comes to Israeli citizens who the State of Israel was not able to defend, he said during an address to the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. A Saturday statement by the United States, Egypt, and Qatar, the three countries that have attempted for months to broker an agreement between Israel and Hamas, said a deal would bring immediate relief both to the long-suffering people of Gaza as well as the long-suffering hostages and their families. This deal offers a roadmap for a permanent ceasefire and ending the crisis, the statement said. Here's what else to know. Officials from the United States, Israel, and Egypt are meeting in Cairo on Sunday to discuss the reopening of the Rafah border crossing to let much-needed aid into Gaza, a former Egyptian official familiar with the negotiations told the Washington Post. The proposal on the table would be temporary to handle the aid crisis, the former official added, saying it would come into effect during a 6-week time frame that was set by Joe Biden to stop fighting. All 36 shelters in Rafah belonging to the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, are empty now, said Philippe Lazzarini, the agency's commissioner general. The recent escalation in Israeli operations in the area had triggered an exodus of more than 1 million from Rafah, most of whom had already been displaced several times, Lazzarini said Saturday night. All eyes are on the proposal to reach an end to this war through a ceasefire, the release of all hostages plus substantial and safe flow of urgently needed supplies into Gaza, he wrote. The Israel Defense Forces said Sunday it was continuing operations in the area, killing militants and locating weapons. The IDF said Israeli Air Force jets struck a military compound used by Hezbollah operatives in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley in response to a Hezbollah surface-to-air missile that was fired Saturday at an IDF drone operating in Lebanese airspace. Hezbollah had claimed the attack on the unmanned vehicle on Saturday. At least 36,439 people have been killed and 82,627 injured in Gaza since the war began, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, which does not distinguish between civilians and combatants, but says the majority of the dead are women and children. Israel estimates that about 1,200 people were killed in Hamas's October 7th attack, including more than 300 soldiers, and says 293 soldiers have been killed since the launch of its military operation in Gaza. Dadouch reported from Beirut. Heba Farouk Mahfouz contributed to this report.